This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
The Blue Cliff Record, Case 80. A monk asked Joshu, "Does a newborn infant also have six consciousnesses?" Joshu said, "A ball tossed on rushing water." The monk went on to ask Toshi, "What is the meaning of a ball tossed on rushing water?" Toshi said, "Moment to moment, nonstop flow." In the verse, inactivation of the six consciousnesses presents a question. The adepts both discerned where it comes from. A ball tossed on boundless rushing water. It doesn't stay where it lands. Who can watch? So when the monk asked Joshu about the newborn infant, does he have six consciousnesses? Does he have all the cognitive and discriminatory and perceptual confusions that we grown-ups have and are presumably the source of our suffering? He's asking the kind of question that in a way we all implicitly ask when we try to imagine what it is we're after or what kind of state it is we're trying to attain. And it's usually a question that has an element of subtraction involved in it. What is it in my mind that I have to get rid of in order to be enlightened? And this monk is sort of asking about wiping the slate clean in a certain way. Should I be returning to the state of a newborn infant? Now, this monk probably has little or no experience with actual infants, and the infant here is much more likely to be a metaphor than a baby that has all sorts of wants and needs and attachments and from the very beginning of life. But it's as if the monk imagines something out of the Heart Sutra, you know. No eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, no realm of thought, no realm of consciousness. Right? It's a kind, it's as if there's a wiping clean of the slate into something blank or fresh or new and spontaneous, right? You can multiply adjectives in what we think of as a kind of pure, clarified baseline that we're trying to get back to. You might recall that the opening sentence of Joko's Everyday Zen is, "My dog doesn't worry about the meaning of life." In a way, it's posing the same kind of, image for you, the sense of this simple, natural creature who doesn't bother himself with the kinds of things that are the source of our suffering. So is that the state that we want to return to? Right? And Joshua immediately perceives that the monk is aiming at this kind of blankness in the question. And so his reply comes from a completely different place, with a different kind of image, a ball tossed on rushing water. See, rushing water is interesting because when you have images or metaphors for the mind or consciousness that talk about water, it's usually about stillness and clarity, right? A clear, calm lake when all the waves, die down, when the wind stops blowing, and then you can see everything perfectly clearly reflected in the surface of the water, right? That's a common enough image. And it does describe a certain kind of practice or a certain phase of practice where we feel like what's happening is that we're quieting down, that when we come in from our outside lives, our minds are all filled with stuff and thoughts and preoccupations, and as we sit, very gradually everything calms down. And it's as if the wind stops disturbing the surface of the lake and there is this period of calm or peace. And there's certainly possible to have an idea of meditation or a technique of meditation that simply aims at that kind of unperturbed stillness and clarity. And the monk may be thinking in those terms as well, that what we're after is complete calmness. But Joshu responds with a very different kind of metaphor that has nothing to do with calmness or stasis. It's rapidly flowing water. Imagine if filled with bubbles and, white caps and breaking over the rocks and moving quickly. And the idea of you toss a ball onto it, it just disappears. You move so fast you can't even see where it's going or where it's been. Right? Not at all our ordinary image of the calm meditative mind. It's much more a picture of the mind in motion, a mind that's moving so fast that nothing can grasp it, and there's no freeze frame, right? Now, I would suggest that in itself is a more profound image for how Zen approaches consciousness. The aim is not to create clarity or stillness of the calm lake. It's not to create the perfectly polished mirror in which we've wiped away every speck of dust, right? There's something about what we settle into that is not trying to control or eliminate anything about what our mind is naturally doing. We're not trying to dam up the stream, stop its flow, make it get calm and quiet, right? We're watching it flow by. And there's real, you know, like the dust on the mirror, it's not really that there's anything clear and perfect about it. If we were going to answer the monk's question today, maybe we could stay instead like a cigarette flushed down the toilet. Right? Just this thought that we have, like a cigarette butt, just a not particularly pretty or interesting or nice thing at all, and whoosh, there it goes, gone. Right? The whole mechanism is not necessarily anything very pristine or holy at all. It's just plumbing, right? That's our mind, yeah, it's just plumbing. So Joshu is asking us to somehow come to terms with and accept the nature of our mental plumbing. Right? He has a prettier sight, the prettier image of a ball on the water, but it's basically being flushed along, right? We can't grab it, we can't hold on to it, we can't really see where it goes. And there's no particular problem with this. Right? Our goal isn't to control or clarify or hold still. And I think when you sit in sesshin all day, the more that you conjure up an image for yourself of a clear, quiet, calm, unmoving mind, the more you will be at war with yourself. You'll either be constantly trying to stop your thoughts and quiet yourself down, but because you're only going to be able to do that if you can do it at all for relatively short periods of time, pretty soon you're going to be judging yourself and thinking, I'm not doing this right, or I'm not there yet, or everybody else is calmer and I'm all just sitting here worried about something, right? And so then we're going to be always standing back from our mind, watching it, judging the content, judging the flow, always thinking somehow it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. See, these images of clarity are very tantalizing, but in the end produce exactly the opposite. They fueled all this whole system of observation, judgment, and then a self at war with itself. It keeps that whole thing in motion. Now, when we gain a certain perspective on it, it doesn't really matter what's going through our mind. It doesn't really matter if we're having those thoughts as opposed to any other thoughts, but we really very much think that it does. We think that the content is all important. We don't have a sense that there's always something flowing through. It's like standing by, you know, sitting on a bench at the edge of the Hudson. There's always something going down the river. Sometimes it's prettier than other times, right? All we want to do is be able to sit and watch that go by, right? So that's really our job in sesshin, is to sit on that bench of our mental river here and just watch it go by. Any attempt to freeze frame it, make it stop, make it calm, that's only going to work for a very, very little amount of time. It might be nice to think you can do that. But see the way in which that whole wish backfires. It turns on itself. Just sit. Just watch the ball bob down the stream.